From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of May, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. Along the way, we'll hear an update of the agricultural weather from Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and an update of crop progress in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota. Those are the five top corn-producing states of the nation. The United States Department of Agriculture yesterday said as of May the 8th, 40% of the corn crop was in the ground. That was a big jump. The state statisticians will give us some clarity about where that corn has been planted. I'll give you a hint. It's from I-55 westward. And you'll find it all on today's edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher in the wheat pit nearby May contract at $7.69, up 9 3/4. July at $7.98 3/4 for the soft red, 8 1/4 higher. July hard red at $9.59 1/4 in Minneapolis at the grain exchange, up 14.5 cents. And July hard bread at $9.28 1/2 in Kansas City, up 14 cents. On this Tuesday afternoon, corn pit in Chicago finished mixed, but the only mixed was the nearby May contract, which was a penny and a half higher at $7.06. July on out through March of 2013 were lower. July contract at $7.07 1/4, down 1/4. September at $6.81 1/4 in the corn pit, down 4 3/4. In December futures, $6.52 3/4, down 4 3/4. March of next year at $6.64 3/4, down 4 3/4. May soybeans today, $13.40, a gain of 5 cents. July at $13.38 a bushel, up 3. August, $13.37, 2 1/4 higher. And November soybeans up 3 cents at $13.22 1/2. May bean meal, $3.46.30, 40 cents higher. And the May soybean oil, $56.49, a settlement price up 51 cents. June live cattle futures at $109.17 1/2, up 17 1/2 cents. August at $110.72 1/2, down 15. May feeders $128.07 1/2, up 7 1/2. And the May lean hogs today down 67 1/2 cents at $92.05. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures $103.60 a barrel, $1.05 higher. Natural gas at $4.24 7/10 of a cent, up 9 3/10 of a cent. Ethanol at $2.57 1/2, a penny and a half higher. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, $3 even, up 3 9/10 of a cent. Gold futures finished at $1,516.60 an ounce, up $13.70. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,761, just about 77 points higher at this hour. The dollar at 74.6 is down 0.13. The CRB index at 348.57, 4.4 higher on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. For this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, the high near 89 degrees, south-southwest winds at 15 miles an hour, they'll gust to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 68 degrees, southwest winds at 7 to 13 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 16. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 88 degrees, south-southwest winds again at 6 to 11. And then tomorrow night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 65 degrees. Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms persist, partly sunny for the rest of the day. A high near 84 degrees, south-southwest winds at 8 to 15. They'll gust as high as 20. And Thursday night, that 50% chance of shower stays with us. It'll be mostly cloudy, a low of 64. By the time we get to Friday, yep, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the area. Partly sunny. The high drops off, though, just 77 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of around 57. Those chance of showers stay with us through Saturday. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with Don Day of Day Weather.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Hi, good afternoon, Todd.
Are the farmers rolling in your area today?
If not, they're driving between fields, seeing if they can roll somewhere.
If not rolling, searching, huh?
They're searching. We did hear, I think it's a little drier north of 74, south of 74. You have to really hunt, pick, and choose, and it's probably not dry enough to be no-tilling yet.
Yeah, so when we looked at the numbers from the USDA yesterday, and we'll hear more complete details from the state statisticians here in a bit, did it surprise you that Iowa moved so quickly last week?
I did, because there was different areas, as we talked to different areas of farmers in Iowa, that there were areas that weren't going and were still running behind. But where they were able to go, they sure went, at least the statistician said so.
Yeah, that's what the statistician did, and they'll give you some clarity on how quickly they moved last week, and it was really fast. Actually, in western Illinois, they're 74% complete done at this point, and some of those reporting stations, too. So a lot of corn has gone in the ground. In Chicago, it was interesting to watch. I looked at the market very quickly earlier in the day. It was higher, but she finished lower for the corn.
Well, I think, as some of these rain showers diminish a little bit as they go across southern Illinois and around that way, and maybe not dropping as much rain as maybe was considered to be, and we see the progress that was made in Iowa when the farmer can get to the field with this big equipment, I think that had a little bit. There had also been, quite a bit of buying. I think that we have that report in the morning, and I'm sure there was a little bit of profit taking at the end of the day and somewhat light volume that made it move up and down easier than it might have if the volume had been heavy, Todd.
Now, were the speculators in and buying yesterday and the non-commercials then absent from the marketplace today?
I think the non-commercials or the funds were somewhat absent today, Todd. They seemed to not be in there selling or pitching out big positions like they were last week. I think that we saw some commercial buying yesterday. From what we heard, there was a little commercial front-end buying.
And then how about today? Were the commercials there, too? Or not?
I think that they might have been a little bit early, but I think that they got their buying out of the way yesterday.
As you look further out, and I'm talking new crop as opposed to old crop at this point, what do you think USDA will do with the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates as it makes that first kind of shot at what our size of our corn crop might look like?
Well, I think, there's all sorts of speculation. I think they'll stay with trendline yields tomorrow. Some people think that they could drop that because of the lateness of planting. I think that after, what we talked there on Commodity Week over the weekend, that we aren't in that herd of position yet if the weather is decent from here on in. So I don't think they'll cut back on that. I think that they might cut back some of the export because the corn exports have slowed quite a bit here that way. The one thing that they probably should do, and it's a big question mark whether they will or won't, is drop off the 92 million acres, Todd.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. What happened in the bean market today? They finished about a nickel higher.
I think somewhat light trade. We did see a little bit of fun buying there, not an awful lot, but just along the way being buoyed up by the wheat, that also, and some of the conditions along the way. Also, your bean oil, a very strong day, up 51 points. As we see the crude oil recover, we see the RBOB, basically up 10 cents here today. All those things makes the soy oil worth a little more for blending, making soy diesel.
So in Chicago today, ahead of tomorrow's WASD report, was it fairly light trade?
I would say it was light trade today, Todd. I think that basically we're seeing a smaller trade in there now. We have the funds that quit selling. They aren't back in buying big. We had some commercial buying yesterday, and we had a few guys trying to pick some bottoms and worried a little bit about the weather and the smaller traders that way. So all in all, not a very active trade. I mean, it was an active trade today, but on lighter volume.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Mm-hmm.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to sign up for our weekend newsletter, you probably ought to do that shortly. I think Dave's already, in fact, I know he's already sent out the release for tomorrow morning, so it's a little bit late to get in on the newsletter for this afternoon and to find those numbers from the WASD report in your text messages tomorrow morning. You can still go ahead and sign up at willag.org if you'd like. Make sure you give us your mobile phone number, and on USDA report days, we'll send you the numbers just after they're released from the United States Department of Agriculture. That happens at 7:30 Central. Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It surprised a few in the industry, showing that corn planting had reached the 40% level nationwide. It was just 13% the previous week. Last year, by the way, 80% of the crop had been planted by this date. And the five-year average is 59%. Now, let's find out just exactly where all that corn was planted. We'll start with a statistician in Iowa.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 8, 2011. After several weeks of poor planting conditions and slow to non-existing planting progress, farmers took advantage of warm, dry weather and planted at a breakneck pace during the week and caught up to the normal corn planting pace. Although conditions were not optimal in all areas, farmers worked long hours to plant their crops, with the only complaint being that windy conditions prevented some spraying from getting done. There were 6.2 days suitable for fieldwork statewide during the past week, with only the North Central, Northeast, and Southeast districts reporting less than 6 days suitable. Topsoil moisture levels fell to 94% adequate to surplus, compared with 99% last week, while subsoil moisture rated 98% adequate to surplus. Iowa farmers planted 61% of their corn acres and ended the week with 69% of the crop planted, behind last year's 92%, but equal to the five-year average. This 61 percentage point single week increase in corn planting is the largest single week increase since 1992's 64 point increase during the first full week of May. Only Northeast Iowa had less than 50% of the corn crop planted. As farmers finished planting corn, many moved rapidly to planting soybeans, with progress at 10% complete, well behind last year's 40% and behind the average of 18%. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 4 to 6 degrees below normal across the Northeast to near normal over the southwest part of Iowa, with a statewide average of 3.4 degrees below normal. Meanwhile, the average precipitation across the state was 0.11 inches, or well below the normal for the week of 0.91 inches. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 8th. Cool temperatures averaging 5 degrees below normal, accompanied with near-normal rainfall, was the story for the 7-day period ending May 8th. Brisk winds did, however, dry down many of the fields across the state, allowing corn planting to make good progress, especially in the northern third of the state. Topsoil moisture supplies went from mostly surplus last week to mostly adequate for the current week. However, the southeastern crop reporting district is still mostly underwater and was reported 100% in the surplus category. Corn planting reignited last week, advancing by 24 percentage points to 34% complete. This compares to 93% planted last year and 62% for the five-year average. 6% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 60% last year and 31% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn planting progress was the Western Crop Reporting District, where 72% had been planted by week's end. Soybean planting was just getting underway at 2% complete, compared to 30% planted on this date last year and 14% for the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 26% headed, compared to 39% 1 year ago and 36% for the five-year average. Overall, the wheat crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Favorable conditions allowed producers to make significant progress planting spring crops. Substantial corn planting occurred during the week, with 57% of the crop planted and progress now 2 days behind the five-year average. Corn emerged was at 4%. Many producers in the east and south have now turned their attention to planting soybeans. Soybean planting was at 15% complete, while sorghum planting was underway at 7%. Wheat conditions rated 2% very poor, 13 poor, 39 fair, 41 good, and 5% excellent, which is below last year's 71% good to excellent. Wheat joining was at 45%. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending Sunday, May 8th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 16/100 of an inch to 6.24 inches, leaving only 1.1 days suitable for field work during the week. Topsoil moisture was rated 29% adequate and 71% surplus. Temperatures ranged from 3 to 9 degrees below normal with a low of 28 degrees and a high of 73. 4% of the intended corn acreage has been planted compared with 80% last year and 49% for the five-year average. Most planting was achieved in the northern districts where soils had dried enough to support equipment. Progress is still ahead of the record late planting of corn which occurred in 1961 when only 1% had been planted by May 10th. Southern counties have experienced more rainfall and still have flooded river bottoms and standing water within fields. A very minimal number of soybean fields have been planted at this time. 60% of the winter wheat acreage is rated to be in good to excellent condition compared with 73% last year at this time. Some producers were applying fungicides to their wheat acreage during the week. Livestock remain in mostly good condition. Pastures and feedlots are very muddy, causing some stress to livestock. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Our thanks to the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota for their time this week. And also to the stats folks right here in Urbana-Champaign in the College of Vases. The Ag Economist and the Farm Doc team there keep track of the number of available days each season that farmers in the state of Illinois can plant their crop or harvest it, depending on the time of the year. It's called the working days figure. I'll have more on what the average looks like in a moment. The number of days an Illinois farmer can work in the field is critical during the spring and the harvest months. The Ag Economist at Illinois used these figures to develop the machinery management tool. It can help farmers properly size equipment to the acres needed to be covered over a period of time. Ag Economist Gary Schnitke keeps track of the stats.
Working field days between April 10th and May 20th, prime planting season, on average, equals about 20 days, or 50% of the days, roughly. 2010 was a typical year. 2009 was the second worst year in terms of having the least number since 1980.
Interestingly, the number of days, good or bad, does not correlate with a good or bad final yield for corn or soybean, at least in the state of Illinois.
We looked at the number of working days and then looked at final yields by crop reporting district, and there isn't a relationship. As you expect, weather during July and August determine a lot of what happens to yield.
It's much easier for an Illinois farmer to get into the field to do harvest work than it is to actually plant the crop, though that doesn't always seem like the case. The harvest dates Schnitke uses run from September 15 to October 30.
And there's on average 32 days between that period, or about 75% of the time you can work, much higher than during the spring period.
The state of Illinois working field days are summarized by Crop Reporting District and can be found on the Farm Doc website. That's at farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Each and every week, we take a look at the agricultural energy markets, and once a month, we talk about those with Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services. That's an ADM affiliate in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks, Steve, for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
I don't think I've actually ever asked which building in Chicago you're located. Are you downtown?
Yes, we're in the Board of Trade, and see the traders come in and out every day, and heads held high and low at times.
Well, the reason I asked was because I wanted to know whether they were holding their heads high or low, or what their discussion last week might have been about the silver market and the way things were trading, and to some respect, what had happened with Goldman Sachs and their prediction of things falling apart, and then, of course, turning around and making a prediction that, well, it bottomed earlier than they expected.
Well, I've been involved in these markets for over 30 years and did see the last silver move to the $50 area. And it was not a surprise that we saw the kind of profit-taking we ended up getting. A lot of markets make their highs in the more on a lack of buyers than anything else. And once that started with the margin changes and the like, it really accelerated on the downside.
How unusual was it, do you think, for an exchange to announce ahead of time that the margin requirements would be going up incrementally without seeing the volatility on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I think it was somewhat unusual, but I think it was necessary given the kind of risks that we were looking at from one day to the next. And the exchanges, I think, perform their function in a responsible way.
Any lasting impact, you believe, from what happened?
No, I do think that the market washed out some of the excesses that we saw. We did see at those highs some pretty good selling of some scrap in terms of sterling. On the way up, we saw some real good buying of some of the smaller bars. So, I think the market's still kind of in a kind of holding range for now, but the underlying fundamentals that contributed to the strength are probably still there.
And had it had an impact, the rise, that is, in the silver market, had much of an impact on the rest of the commodities? And I'm thinking crude oil folded fairly quickly along.
Oh, undoubtedly. I think people started looking at the crude, particularly as an adjunct to the silver. Many people were buying many markets up in response to the strength of silver. And once it started to crater, you saw some pretty active liquidation. I was at the IEA meeting the week before and came back that Sunday night, actually. At that meeting, many people were somewhat distrusting of the market in terms of the last $10 on the crude, given the underlying fundamentals in terms of the supply, demand, and inventories.
And finally, can you walk that back in? We only have maybe 30 seconds or so into the grind at the end of the year for old crop, and I know they're not quite related, but what do you see for ethanol?
Well, we definitely are going to, I think we have seen some questions start to arise on whether that will be able to be maintained given the kind of movement in the spread. We'll see tomorrow in terms of the USDA on how the numbers play out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM affiliate in Chicago, Illinois. He's right. Those WASI reports are due out at 7:30 a.m. More on those here on this program in 2 minutes, the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Butterscotch Brownie Day. Samuel Parkinson began making butterscotch candy in 1817. The candy had royal approval, and it was one of England's attractions until it ceased production in 1977. The recipe was revived in 2003. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, James Pollard Espy was born. An American meteorologist, he was one of the first to collect meteorological observations by telegraph. In 1845, Carl Gustav Patrick de Lava was born, a Swedish scientist. He invented a continuous centrifugal cream separator, which he patented in 1894. Milk flowed into the machine in a small and continuous stream and was whirled and separated as it passed through, the cream leaving from one aperture and the skimmed milk from another. He also designed a vacuum milking machine. However, it was not until after he died that the company he founded made its first commercially practical milking machine. And in 1914, C.W. Post died. He founded the Postum Cereal Company in 1895. In 1922, the company was renamed General Foods Corporation. Its earliest... By the name of Elijah's...
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don, thanks so much for being on the line. Farmers out west planted a whole lot of corn last week, and they've got a good start on their soybeans. But in the eastern Corn Belt, the further east you go, the less that's been done. Will they be able to move this week or not?
Oh, it's going to be hard. We're going to have a couple of systems that are going to be slow movers that are going to lumber through the Midwest, and it's going to be wet more often than it's going to be dry for the next week to 10 days. The northern areas especially, we see that the rains could be heavy across portions of northern and eastern Iowa, all of Wisconsin, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, northern Ohio, into southern Michigan. Those areas could be looking at anywhere from 1 to over 3 inches of rain in the next 5 to 7 days. Rainfall amounts of an inch, half inch south of those areas, but it'll be wet throughout all of the Midwest, the Mississippi, the Missouri, the Ohio Valley areas, all will be unsettled with at least 2 or 3 systems moving through.
And that's 5 to 7 days. How about if we get out to 10 to 14? What do you see?
Well, not much of a difference, especially the northern and western Corn Belt areas. Those areas are likely going to be still under the gun for systems coming out of the west, and they're going to be slower moving. And this is something that we tend to see in the month of May. The jet stream winds, which were so strong in the winter and early spring, have really slowed down a lot. So the systems aren't zipping through, and that gives them an opportunity to draw in moisture from the Gulf and produce concentrated rains in some areas. So unfortunately, we still have another couple of weeks here where it's going to be wet, and temperatures are only going to be averaging near normal.
Near normal, but temperatures in the southwest have really been burning up. I saw 100 degrees in Wichita yesterday and some really, really hot temperatures into Texas, too.
Yeah, now they'll get some relief. In fact, we may even see some rain relief in portions of Texas over the next week or so. We don't see any signature for heat, even in those southern areas. As the systems that will be moving through the Midwest, we'll send some cool air south.
Turn your attention to other parts of the planet. Start with China, where they've got the second largest corn crop on the globe that's going in the ground right now.
It looks wet. China going to be looking at a series of systems, especially this week, that will hit the central and the southern areas the hardest, but the whole country looking at above or near normal precipitation over the next week to 10 days. And when it comes to temperatures, China will be, for the most part, cooler than normal. So cool and wet in China.
And hopscotch across the northern hemisphere and the wheat-growing regions of India, France, Ukraine, back here to the Great Plains states, if you'd like.
Well, let's go over into Europe. It does look better for Europe in terms of the areas that were dry, especially in some of the central Western European areas. Those areas are going to get some moisture. The Ukraine, Many areas of Russia look to have some good chances for precipitation. Russia probably a little bit drier, but the Ukraine, those areas look to be looking at better growing conditions there. When we look at India, no signs yet of any real significant or heavy precipitation forming there yet, although some signs, at least the southern portions of India, will be getting a little bit of moisture. Other areas will be dry.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.